We begin the current Daven Sadeh, Zivam is Daven Sadeh Ches. We begin 11 lines down at the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Daf. That is, we had an explanation of our Mishnah, Machlekes between Rav Acha and Rav Sheshes, how to define the Halacha. That is, the Mishnah told us in the previous Daf that a Giyaris that converted with her two sons with her. So then, when one of the brothers dies without any children, the other brother is Loi Chalitzin, Loi Miyamin. He doesn't do Chalitza or Yibam. Now, on that, the Gemara, by way of a different machlekes, has a machlekes how to interpret those words. Rav Acha holds that they don't have to do chalitza yibam, which means to say that the woman is permitted to marry whoever she wants to. However, she is not forbidden to marry the brother that's still alive. It's just that she doesn't have to because they're not paternal brothers, and therefore there's no mitzvah of yibam, but they're permitted to marry each other because actually they're both like Kukat and Chanel dummy, although they're brothers essentially from birth, but they're not really related, because once you convert, all your previous relations are non-existent. So therefore, it's not like really his brother, so he can marry his brother's wife. It's just saying that they don't have to do chalitza yibam. They're not really in Torah's chalitza yibam. Whereas Rav Sheshe said that no, when the Mishnah says lo chalitza lo miyamin, since they're not in the mitzvah of yibam chalitza, actually it's forbidden for them to marry, to do the yibam. Lo miyamin is an iser, because as Rav Sheshe explains, we would confuse, since they're maternally related, and that's the chiddush of the second part of the Mishnah, but be that as it may, we would confuse them, since they have the same mother, that although they're not really halachically related, but it might seem like, because they do come from the same mother, that any Jew could go ahead and marry his brother's wife. So if you allowed these converts to marry each other's wives, we might come to do it by Yisrael, and therefore it's actually usher. So when the Mishnah says, lechatz v'miyamen, it's saying that it's actually prohibited. And that's how Gemara attempted different proofs to say either way. And the Gemara didn't have any Rai. And the Gemara continues regarding this Machlekes between Rav Acha and Rav Sheshes to bring a Rai. Toshima, coming here from the following Brai, so we'll prove regarding one opinion in this Machlekes. The Amr Rav Yisrael said, Maisa ben Neftayim Hager. There was a story with Neftayim, who was a convert. Shenosa Eishes Achav Me'imah, who married his maternal brother's wife, which, as we explained in the previous stuff, that's really where the primary area where they argue, because everyone agrees paternally it's not a problem. It's maternal brothers where there was a relationship even when they were non-Jewish. So although now halachically they're not once they convert, but that's where the confusion could be, because we know that they're really brothers where when they were non-Jewish they were maternally related, and that might come to be confused with regularly Yisrael. But Neftayim Hager, he went and married his maternal brother's wife. The story came in front of the Chachamim. The Amr, and they said, Ein Ishus Leger, that there is no marriage, there is no Ishus for Ger, and therefore there's no problem that he married his brother's wife. But the Gemara asks, there's no marriage for Ger? In other words, and that's why there's no problem marrying his brother's wife? But Ve'el Ger, the Kaddish, you tell me that a Ger, a convert that gets married to a woman, you tell me that it's not a valid marriage? Why not? He's a full-fledged Jew once he converts. Elaimer, rather, say what the sages had said was Ein Isser Eishes Ach Leger. There's no prohibition of a brother's wife to a convert. So the Gemara says, and this is the proof, My Lab Dinas V'Ach, isn't it talking about that the brother who died had married his wife, Kishu Ger, when he was already converted, when he was already Jewish, where his Kiddushin is a valid Kiddushin like any Jewish person, and yet still we're saying it was permitted for his brother Neftayim to marry her. Why? Because there is no brotherhood, because a gershon is geyer is like a kachanel, like a brand new person, and that seems to prove, like Rav Acha, that we're not concerned. Once they convert, they're like new people, and he can marry his brother's wife, not like Rav Sheshes, who he said that although halachically there's no problem, but the rabbis were concerned, if he allowed it, then you might come to allow it by Jewish brothers to marry his brother's wife, which is biblically based on kars forbidden, and therefore rabbinically it's forbidden, yet here we see clearly that they allowed a ger to marry his brother's wife, and that there was no Isra even rabbinically. I think Moses Loy, it's not a right to Rav Acha and a question to Rav Sheshes, because his brother, who now died, had married her when he was non-Jewish. And actually, from the time he converted, he had never been intimate with his wife, so therefore there was never any halacha kedushin with her. Because the only time he was with her was when he was not Jewish, and when he was Megayer, it's like his marriage was non-existent beforehand. Now that's why it's permitted to his brother, because it was like Kakat and Chanel, and therefore it was never really his brother's wife. So the Gemara asks, if that's the case, If it's talking about that it was his brother's wife only when he was a non-Jew, so what's the point? Of course, we know that once he converts, that there was never any marriage. And so therefore, of course he could marry her, because it was never his brother, the Jew's wife. Nothing more says, no. Since we're going like Rav Sheshes, who that's how we're interpreting, who he holds that if he had married her when he was a ger, it would be forbidden to his brother. Again, based on the concern, because you might confuse it with a regular Jew. So maybe we would think that even when it was his brother's wife, when he was a non-Jew, should be forbidden for his other brother, the ger, who in this case was Niftaim, even though he never was with her after he'd been Jewish, because then we might allow it even when it was his wife after he'd become Jewish. Kamashalon, that's the chiddush of the Braisa, so that no, that it's only as much as Rav Sheshes says. That if it was his wife after he was a ger, it's forbidden for his other brother, the other ger, because that the maternal brothers, and he's marrying his brother's wife, we might confuse it with Jews. But if it was only his wife when he was a non-Jew, that is no concern, and that's what the Braisa is saying, that there was no Ister Eshes Ach Leger if it was his brother's wife when he was a non-Jew. So no Raisa. The Gemara continues, Toshima, come in here from the following Braisa. The Amar Ben Yosiyon. Ben Yosiyon said, Keshalach Delekroch Hayem, when I went to the cities by the sea, Matzasi Ger Echad Shanasa Eshes Ach Mimai. I encountered a convert who had married his maternal brother's wife. So Matila, I said to him, B'nei, mi hirshecha, who allowed you to go ahead and do this? As we see, this is a big debate in halacha regarding, because there are maternal relationships with even non-Jews, so maybe he's not allowed to. Amali, he said to me, Hare'isha, there was a woman that converted, B'sheva b'nei, with her seven sons, that al safsel zeh yashav Rabbi Akiva v'amar shnei dvarim, that on this bench, Rabbi Akiva sat, and he said the following two halachas. First of all, a ger is allowed to marry his maternal brother's wife, and that's from where I learned to do such a practice. And the second thing Rabbi Akiva said was a pasuk in Yoina that says, "Vehi devar Hashem al Yoina sheinis lemer," that then it was that Hashem spoke to Yoina a second time, saying, which Rabbi Akiva expounded, "Sheinis dibre meishchina." It was only a second time that the divine presence spoke to him, but shlishis le dibre meishchina, a third time the divine presence never spoke to Yoina again. Now, but one thing the Gemara says, Ketani Mias, what we see from this Braisa is that Ger Noise Eishes Achiv Me'imai, a convert, is allowed to marry his maternal brother's wife. My love, Dinasva Achiv Kushu Ger, isn't it talking about that his brother was a convert when he had married that woman? And yet still we see that his brother is allowed to marry when his brother dies his wife. Obviously, we see like Rav Acha, that we're not concerned, as Rav Sheshes says, that you're not allowed to. But rather like Rav Acha, because Gershon is Gerka Kenshon Oldami, and therefore your brother is not your brother, and therefore you can marry your brother's wife. Again, the Gemara says, Loi, no Raya. Dinasra Kishu Evikachavim, again, it's talking about that he'd marry her when he was a non-Jew, and then he died. So there, and or that even though his brother was a Megayer, but again, he had never been intimate with her after he was Jewish, and that's why he's allowed to marry his brother's wife. Because that marriage is not considered a halachic marriage. So again, the Gemara asks, so my lememba, so what's the point of saying such a halacha? Obviously, once he converts, he's not married to his non-Jewish wife, and that was never considered a halachic marriage. And then the Gemara says, again, you would think that if we allowed him to marry his brothers that converted also his wife when he was a non-Jew, we might come to allow it when he is a Jew, which that is a problem according to Rav Sheshes, Kamash Malan, that there is no such concern. But now the Gemara asks, once we introduced this Braisa of Ben Yosiyon, the Gemara asks, Umi Mehemen, was that ger believed to say that testimony in the name of Rabbi Akiva when Ben Yosiyon tested him and saying, how are you allowed to marry? By saying, well, I'll tell you, I heard this testimony of Rabbi Akiva and that's why I was allowed to do this. Is he believed to say that? But V'omer Rabbah Amar Rav Huna Marav, he says, Kol Tamochachem Shemar HaLocha Ba. And Tamochachem that's coming and paskening a shayla, he's coming in and saying that this is what the halacha is. Well, it depends. If before the actual, there was an incident that happened, people want to know what's the halacha. So if he always was teaching this halacha before the actual incident happened, well then we listen to him, because obviously it's not a bias why he's saying this halacha, because he's always been saying this even before this incident happened, especially when it's applicable to him, as in this case. But Vimlav, if not, since this is a novelty in halacha, this is a chiddush to say that he's permitted in his maternal brother's wife, maybe he's slanting it or distorting it a little bit, because of the incident that's happening, then ain't shoy meloy, then we don't listen to him. So how over here, when it's pertaining to him, when the stories come up and he's coming, say, how are you allowed to do this? So the Ger says, oh, you know, there's a halacha that I once heard. No, you're not believed to say you once heard a halacha if it's coming for an incident that's happening right now because of the biases that might be distorting the truth. So how over here was he believed to say based on this answer of a Bekira? So the Gemara gives three answers. Either it's talking about that actually this Ger was always saying this before the story ever happened, that he had heard this halacha from Bekiva. And therefore, that's permitted, as we said, if he was being Moira halacha before the Maisad Shemalai. Vibayasim, our second approach is, Mishum de Ka'amma Hare Isha Beshiva Banal. The reason is because his proof was from a previous incident. And therefore, that's not something that's just happening now. It's not like he made up a svar now. Since there's a precedent from a previous story like that, so that itself would be something that's already something from before, so that's why he's believed. Well, Vibayasim, a third approach is that what you can say is Shani Hacha here was different because the Ka'amar Maisa Achrina, because he quoted another halacha, that of the Pasuk in Yoina, Bahada together. Now, since he's believed regarding the halacha of Yoina, because there's no bias whatsoever, so he's also believed on this one, which is applicable to him, because it's obviously recognizable that he had accepted both of these traditions from Kiva, and therefore since that one's true, it makes sense that this one's also true, and therefore he was believed, even though it was for something pertaining right now for him. Now, the Gemara says, Amamar, in that Braisa, Rabbi Kiva was quoted by expounding the Pasuk in Yoina that says, V'hi devar Hashem al Yoina Sheinis Lema, that the word of God was to Yoina a second time saying, that he had expounded Sheinis Dibri Meshchina. It was only a second time that the Divine Presence spoke to him, but Shlichus Le'Dibri Meshchina, a third time, it didn't speak to Yoina anymore. Which the Gemara asks, Bavok said, we have a Pasuk in Melachim Beis that seems to indicate that Hashem did speak to Yoina even after that famous incident with Nineveh. Because it says that who, which is a reference to Yeravim, the son of Yoyash, Heshev es Gavul Yisrael, he restored the boundaries of the Jewish people, Milavoi Chamas, from the place where one comes to Chamas, Adyem HaRava, until the Sea of HaRava, Kedvar Hashem, like was the word of Hashem, Ashadibri Biyad Avdai, that he spoke through his servant, Yoina ben Amitai HaNavi, from Yoina, the son of Amitai, the prophet. So you see that Hashem did speak to Yoina at a later point in time. So how could it say only a second time and no more? So Amravina, he says, Al Iski Ninve Kama. This that it says that he only spoke to him two times and no more was only regarding the conversation of Ninve. Then he didn't speak to him ever again. But regarding other things, he did speak to him. Or Rav Nachman Yitzchok, he says a different answer. He says, no. Hachi Kama. Actually, he didn't speak to Yoina ever again. But though we have this pasuk, it seems to indicate he did. So now he says, Kidva Hashem. When it was saying in the pasuk that this is what yet Yeravim had done, like the word of Hashem, Ashadibu Biyad Avdoi, which was Hanavi, it doesn't mean that these are the words that he actually said to Yoina, which then he fulfilled. It means like the same idea that was by Yoina was the same thing that he did. And that is Kashem Shenepach L'Ninveh Mira L'Tay, but just like through Yoina, the evil that was supposed to befall Ninveh ended up turning into good. Kach B'mei Yeravim Ben Yayash Nepach L'Yisrael Mira L'Tay. That's what it means, that so too in the days of Yeravim, that what was supposed to be bad for them ended up turning into good. Now, Taisus asked a very basic question, which anyone that knows the story of Yoina from Yom Kippurim, is that we find there in the Sefer of Yoina that Hashem spoke to him again a third time, which was by the Kikoin de Yoina, by the famous tree when Yoina got upset, and Hashem spoke to him. So how can we say there was only two times? So Taisus answers that that wasn't in the context of Ninveh. But so Taisus says that's good for Rav Nachman ben Yitzchok. That's good for Ravina, but for Rav Nachman Yitzchak that says he never spoke to him ever again. So what are you going to do with that? So Taisa says that since that was the same day, it was considered all one prophecy, and that was the end when he spoke to him. Never spoke to him ever again, and therefore that was only two times, and not a third time. So the Gemara again continues trying to bring a raya in this machlokes of Rav Acha and Rav Sheshes. And the Gemara says Toshma coming here from the following brisa will prove to you like Rav Acha's opinion that a ger is permitted, even if he's Eshes Achiv Me'ima, even if it's maternal brother's wife, he's permitted to go ahead and marry her. So Brisa says as follows. Gers, and the Brisa talks about different gezeiros, different concerns that we have with a ger, because it might encroach upon something that will actually be an actual Isser. As the Brisa says, So the Baraita discusses a specific case of a convert who his mother converted when she was pregnant with him. So his conception was not in sanctity. She wasn't Jewish when he was conceived. But the birth was already, they were Jewish. So the Baraita says, Yeshle She'erham, so Ha'em, he has the relativity, he has all the relations of maternal, meaning through his mother, because he was born already a Jew. But Ve'enli She'erav, as we explained at the top of this Amud, which was continuation of the previous staff, that he doesn't have any relatives paternally, and the reason is because the seed of a non-Jew, which is obviously what made this child, is not considered a seed of a man, but rather that of an animal, and they're not considered related. But that of his mother, he does have because he was already born Jewish. So that the Baraita says, Ketzad. What would be the cases that are relevant to this halacha? So the Baraita says, Nosa achoisoi min ho'em. If let's say he marries his maternal sister. Now, as Rashi explains the case, is that this sister was actually born before him, an older sister, who she was born even as a non-Jewess, and then she converted. So the Baraita says, Yoitzi. He has to divorce her. Now the reason is because although it's not really his sister, because that she's considered like a katan shenoyle dami, she converted after she was born a non-Jew. So therefore her conversion has to disassociate with all her previous relationships. Again, that stands in contrast to someone that's born a Jew, even if the conception was not. You're born a Jew, so then you have some relationships, you have the maternal relationships. But if you convert after birth, then you lose all previous relationships. Now, so here the older sister is like a totally foreign person to him, because once she converts, she's like a cotton Chanel dummy. However, what the Bryce is telling us that she's forbidden to stay married to him as a gezeira, because if we allow him to marry his sister, he might marry a sister that's born later from the same mother, which that's going to be a full-fledged Jewess, because she's going to be born from already a mother that's Jewish, which that would be a chiyuv of karis to marry his maternal sister, because both of them, him and his later born, his younger sister, are born already b'kedusha, and that's a full-fledged maternal relationship like a regular Israelis, which is forbidden for the son and daughter to marry each other. So even here, where the older sister really should be permitted, but as a gezeira for a younger sister, you can't stay married. But mina av, if let's say this sister was only a paternal sister, then yikayim, then he could stay married to her. And the reason is because everybody knows that there's no paternity for idol worshippers, and both of them, their paternity was from a non-Jew. Now Rashi says even more, that even if you'll say that he might come to marry his younger sister from his father, who's born after that of the conversion from a different wife, that's not a problem because, again, that's not going to be, he's not the father's son. Meaning, obviously, it's from the same mother, that would be a problem. But if it's his father, if we're going paternal, if the father has a daughter later, not even the older sister, younger sister, which is going to be a full-fledged Jewess, that's not a problem even that, because, again, he's not his father's son, because he was, Hayrase was Shaloi B'Kedusha, and that's why we're not concerned if it's Min Ha'av. The Baraita continues, Achais Ha'av Min Ho'im. If we have the father's paternal sister, which means to say it's his father's sister from the same mother, then Yoitzi, that type of woman he cannot stay married to. And the reason is, as Rashi explains, is because if we allow him to marry a woman that has maternal relationships, meaning although it's his father who he's not related to, because we said he doesn't have paternity, but it's his father's maternal sister, so there's maternal over there. So we're concerned that then he might come to marry his own sister, not just his father's sister, his own sister, min ha'em, which, as we said before, that is a problem. So therefore, even here, when it's his father's maternal sister, that also will be a problem, and therefore, he can't stay married to him. Now, we continue on to Amud Beis, where, however, if the Baraita says, min ha'av, yikayim, but as we said before, that if it's from the father, there we're not concerned again, since there's no min ha'em, it's only min ha'av, that is only paternal, and that there's no relative whatsoever. However, if it's achis or emin or em yaitzi, then if it's his mother's maternal sister, again, the same idea that there's maternal over there, then you have to go ahead and you can't stay married to her. However, min ha'av, if it's his mother's paternal sister, meaning that it's his mother and that woman share the same father, then we have a machlekes. He says you can't stay married to her, and the reason is, again, because there is a maternal element. Because it's his mother who it's her sister. So although it's a maternal relationship, but it's his mother, the Chachamim say that no, you could stay married to her. And the reason is because this is not comparable to his, like we said on Omen Aleph, to his father's maternal sister. With there, it makes sense to say that if we let him marry his father's maternal sister, then he might come to marry his own maternal sister, which that's problematic because they're both maternal sisters. But his mother's paternal sister is not comparable to his own maternal sister because that's a paternal sister, and therefore that's not comparable, and that's why they hold that they didn't make Xer. But the Brisa says, but the reason why your mayor says that you are Yaitzi is because Shahar Yomei Omer, he said, Kol erva shehimushum she'er ha'aim, any erva that has a maternal element, Yaitzi, you have to divorce Mishuma'a. But if it only has paternal, like we said, Achis Aviv Mei Aviv, then you claim that you can maintain. The Brisa continues, Umutur be'esh is achiv, and the Girsa takes out the word me'imoy. That is, he's permitted in his brother's wife, even if it's his maternal brother who is older than him and was born when he was born as a non-Jew and then he converted. Which again, this sounds like Rav Acha, which the Gemara will ask from this, and that's why they're bringing this in as a proof to Rav Acha, seemingly not like Rav Sheshes, that the Shenis Gair is permitted in Eishes Achiv Me'imoy. Now, Rashi explains that the reason why the Rabbana did not make Xero over here, which is, should be seemingly the same as we said on Omen Aleph regarding his maternal sister, that we said that even his father's maternal sister is forbidden. So why don't we say the same thing over here, that because of his later brother, his younger brother that will be born, where there the Rabbanan said that that is going to be Aser. So why don't we say the same thing over here, where the older brother should be forbidden his wife, because the younger brother, who is going to be a Jewish person, wasn't born Shalei B'Kedusha, and therefore not Kikon Shenel Dami, should be forbidden. So now Rashi explains that it's only by relatives, like a sister, a blood relative, that we said that we'll make these type of gezeiros. If we allow older, then we might allow younger. But by something that's only through Kedushin, which is what we're talking about, his brother's wife, that they didn't make gezeiros to go so far to say that if we allow the older brother, who is not related to him, because like a Kohen Shanel dummy, that even the younger brother, we might come to do that. That we didn't say, so although the younger brother obviously is Aser, but we didn't make that gezer. The Brisa continues, Ube'eshes achi aviv. He's also permitted in marrying his father's brother's wife. And v'shar kol arayos, and all the other arayos, which as we just quoted from Rashi as explaining this, that happened through Kedushin, mutaris lai, they're all permitted for him. As the Gemara explains, what does that mean? Latuya ishes ha'av. Even if his father's wife, he's permitted, again, because he doesn't have any paternal relations. Now the Brisa continues, if nasa isho bita, if he marries a woman and her daughter. Now Rashi explains that this is going not on the case we were speaking about up until now, the Brisa. It's going on a regular convert who married this woman and her daughter when he was non-Jewish. Now, him and his two wives, which happens to be a mother and daughter, now they all three of them convert. As Rashi says, because if this was going in the previous case where his conception was Shalei B'Kedusha, but his birth was B'Kedusha, he can't marry Isha Bita because the moment he's born, he's a regular Jew, and a Jew can never marry a mother and a daughter. And Rashi says, and if you're going to say that the way he married a mother and daughter, even though it's going on the previous case, was because the mother and daughter had both converted later on when they were adults, and therefore they're not considered related because they're Kakut and Shanodim, and that's why it's permitted. Then why would the Brisa actually say have to talk about a case of a Ger? Even a regular Yisrael would be permitted in the Ishno Beat in that way because they're not really considered related, so anyone would be able to. So obviously Rashi says we're talking about a different case over here where he had married them when he wasn't Jewish. So now all three of them converted. So the Brisa says, Koines achas umaytzi achas. So you can maintain one of the wives, either the mother or the daughter. But umaytzi achas, you can't stay married to the other one. The reason is because we don't want to be confused. People are going to see a Jewish man with two Jewish wives. They don't know that they were gerim and their mother and daughter. So we don't want that confusion that people could think you can marry mother and daughter and therefore you can only maintain one of them. And the Brisa says, l'ketchila layichnes. Initially, you're not allowed to go ahead and marry them, which the Gemara will ask. Of course, if we say you even have to divorce, obviously, initially, you can't go ahead and marry the mother and daughter. So the Brisa continues, but if Mesa Ishta, if his wife dies, then Mutter B'chamaitzah, then he is permitted to marry his mother-in-law, and that is, as Rashi says, the Rabbanan didn't go so far. Although we said you can't marry the mother and the daughter, but that's only rabbinic concern because people will think that it's a mother and daughter, although halachically they're not. But once the wife dies, he could, after her death, which a regular Jewish woman you cannot, he could go ahead and marry the mother-in-law. But Ve'ikad Tani is some that taught, actually, Asa B'chamaitzah, he's actually forbidden in his mother-in-law even after his wife, the Geiris, died, which the Gemara later on will explain the machlekes in these two different versions. Now, however, the Gemara is telling me, yes, one thing that we learned in this Braisa, which we want to use as a proof for this machlekes, Rav Acher and Rav Sheshes, the Braisa says, Mutter Be'eshes Achav, that the Ger is permitted to marry his brother's wife. My lav de naso achiv kishu ger, isn't it talking about that his brother, who we said was born a non-Jew, this is his older brother, who converted, and after his conversion is it when he married this woman, and yet we're saying that when he dies, his brother is permitted be'eshes achiv. Obviously that's like Rav Acha, not like Rav Sheshes, says that you're never allowed to marry your brother's wife, even though you're gerim kikot janeldom, because that could confuse with Jewish people. I think Mrs. Lloyd, no, it's not a question to Rav Sheshes. As we said in all the previous riyas, we're talking about that he had married her when he was a non-Jew, but never had consummated it after he became Jewish. So the Gemara says, what's the point of saying that? And again, as the Gemara said before, you would think if we allow him to marry his brother's wife of when he was a non-Jew, we might come to do it when he is a Jew, which that's a problem because that could confuse with Jewish people. Mashallah, that we don't. Now the Gemara says, Amamar, once we had brought in that Braisa, so the Gemara quotes a halacha from there and asks, we said, Nasa Isha Ubita, we said that if he had been married to a woman and a daughter, and then they all convert, so Kainas Achas, and Maitzi Achas, so you can maintain one, but the other one you cannot. And like Etchil Lo Yechnes, initially you can't go ahead and marry. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Hashda Puke Mapik, if we're telling you that you have to actually, you were married to both, and you have to get rid of one, would you think that initially you can go ahead and marry both? Of course not. We're even saying once you're married, you have to divorce. So the Gemara says that no, Hasam Kai. It's not, actually, it's not going back on this halacha, it's going back on the previous halacha. V'hachi kama. Hach to Amar Rabban Yekayim, the other cases of the Braisa, where the Braisa actually said that you could maintain the relationship. For example, when it's his paternal sister, and all the other paternal types of cases, where we said that you could maintain that marriage, because that will not be confusing. That's what the Braisa is saying. However, initially, you shouldn't go ahead and marry. We don't want to even come to these cases. But yes, once you did, you can maintain. So it's going on those cases, not regarding the halacha that we just said. Of course, if you're divorced, you obviously cannot be leketchila kindness. Now the Braisa also said, Mesa ishtai, if his wife dies, then he's permitted his mother-in-law, because halachically they're not even mother-daughter. It's only at the same time that that might be confusing, but after she's dead, you can marry the mother-in-law. However, those that learned that no asa b'chamaisa, he is forbidden in his mother-in-law even after death. So the Gemara explains the machlokes. Chadik Rabbi Shmuel v'chadik Rabbi Akiva. One opinion of the meaning, one version is going like Rabbi Shmuel, one's going like Rabbi Akiva, as the Gemara explains. The one that says it's forbidden in the mother-in-law even after his wife dies, both of them geirises, are like Rabbi Shmuel. The Amma that he says, he says a mother-in-law after his wife's death is the same prohibition as it always was even when his wife was alive. And therefore, v'gabi ger, goes Rabbi Rabbanan. So therefore, just like we said that the mother-daughter is a problem for geiris when she's alive, so therefore the same thing is even when she's dead, because in halacha it's the same severity. But a man, the one that says no, that he is permitted in his mother-in-law after his wife's death, is going to Rebbe Akiva. That he says that a mother-in-law after his wife's death, if he were to go ahead and marry her, it is a less of a prohibition in the sense that regarding a regular Yisrael, if he cohabits with his mother-in-law after his wife's death, he won't get that severe punishment of Sreifa, which one usually gets with his mother-in-law. And therefore, if it got a ger, like Gazer Rabbanan, so regarding a ger, the Rabbanan weren't geizer, because it's that much, since it's a lesser iser, they weren't geizer, they were only geizer when it was a severe iser of Sreifa, which is when the daughter is also alive. And as we have this machlekes, Rabbi Shmuel Akiva was brought already on the Tzadi Dalet Amud Beis. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which introduces a new topic for the next Mishnah, is talking about when there's doubt in the validity of the child, about who is the parent, which family is this child from. As the Mishnah says, Chamish Nashim Shenes Arva V'Lodei Sein. Five women that their children got mixed up. And that is, they all had sons, But there was a mix-up, and no one knows now whose child it was. Now, additionally to the case conceptualization, each one also had their own son who they knew that was their son that wasn't mixed up. So the Mishnah says, Higdilo ha-taruvas. Now, the story goes that those children that got mixed up, they became older. The Nasu Nashim Amesu, and they married women, and they all died without children. So the Mishnah tells us, Arbo Cheltzin La'achas. So four of the five brothers, meaning every one of these boys that turned into men that got mixed up, had a brother, but we just didn't know who's whose brother. Each one is a Suffolk Ashes Achav. So four of them, out of the five, do Chalitza to every one of those wives. Ve'achad, and one of them, meaning the fifth one, is Meyab Maisa. He marries her Memanavshach, because if he's the right one, he's Ashes Achav, so good, he's doing Yibum. And if not, so whoever was the real brother to that one already had chalitza done to her by the other brothers, who one of them is at least going to be the Eish HaSachif. Now the Brisa continues, who, this one that was did Yibum to the first of the five women, Vishleisha, and another three of these definite brothers, who, but we don't know which one is which brother, they're Chaltzin La'achas. Now they go ahead and do chalitza to a next woman, Ve'achar, and then the fifth one is Meyabim. He goes ahead and does Yibum as number five. Memanavshach, again, as we said, because if he's the right one, fine. And then if not, whoever the other brothers had already done Chalitza, and therefore there's no problem of Yivam Lashuk. And this continues going on, where then you have those two who did Yibum. They go ahead and do Chalitza to the third one with another two brothers. And the fifth one does Yibum, and so on. So the Mishnah says, Nimtza, what comes out is that Arba Chalitzas, that every woman first gets four Chalitzas. And the reason is, as the Gemara will explain, because you can't have the first one doing Yibum until the four do Chalitza, because then you might be encountering a Yivam Lashuk, because he might not actually be the right Eishas Achav to do Yibum, and the other one might be. So then she's encountering, it's a Yivam Lashuk. So you have to first have four Chalitzas, and then the Yibum L'chalachas V'achas, and then you have Yibum, and this happens for every single one of these men that died for their wives. Now, Rashi points out that, as the Gemara will explain, that of course we could have had that every one of these five women, the same four do chalitza, and the same fifth person is miyabim all of them. It's just that the Gemara says that this is the preferred way, because maybe that each one will end up, who we're giving each brother a chance to do yibum, maybe just by chance he'll get that right woman, and therefore each one's going to be fulfilling the mitzvah of yibum, and therefore we prefer that way, instead of going about that all four, the same four, are doing chalitza, because then for sure you're only going to have one, and all five is not going to be mekayim the mitzvah of yibum. Now the Gemara explains, as we already alluded to this, that v'davka michlitz, it has to be that first the four definite brothers do chalitza, and then mehod yavumi, and then the fifth definite brother, which again we don't know who's definite to, but we know that it's each mother's definite child that wasn't in the mixture, then that fifth one does Yibum. Aviyavum and Bebreshalai, but the first do Yibum and then the other four do Chalitza, that not. The Kapaga Beyavam Lashuk, because then he might be encountering a Yavamu who maybe one of the other brothers is the right one, and she's marrying someone else inappropriately when she's still Shemeres Yavam to that Yavam. Now the Gemara asks, regarding a different element of this halacha, Maihu v'shleisha chaltzin la'achas. What does the Mishnah then continue and say that, okay, so when the first one, who he was number five doing Yibum by the first one, then him and another three do chalitza to the next one, why does that bother us if the same four do chalitza and that the fifth one is the same one that does Yibum who did it to the first one, why can't they do the Yibum to the second one too? I think Gemara says, as we alluded to this already, delay tema liyav minu chalikul, because we don't want one brother doing Yibum to all of them. We want each one getting a chance to do Yibum to one of the women. Because maybe he's going to end up having the right one and he'll fulfill the proper mitzvah of Yibum through Bia with one of the women. Now, relating to this case of our Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following brisa. As some put in the Girsa Tanabban, Miktsasan Achin u Miktsasan She'en Achin. If some of them are brothers, some of them are not brothers, Ha'achin Chaltzin. So the ones that are just brothers, they do chalitza. V'she'en achin miyabim, the ones that are not brothers, they do yibum. So the Gemara might come, what exactly does this enigmatic statement mean? Samar of Safar says as follows, this is what the Brisa was saying.
if miktsasan, if some of these definite men, meaning that we know that they're from that mother, if some of them were achen, were brothers to these men that were from the taruvis, that were mixed, we don't know who was really their mother, if they were brothers min ha'av, if they were only paternal brothers, umiktsasan, now there were some of them that were from these that were mixed up, that had achen min ha'im, that had maternal brothers, besides this, that they had paternal brothers. Now, Rashi explains the case as follows. He says, for example, if Reuven married Rachel and Chana, and Rachel gave birth to him Yosef, then he divorced Rachel, who then Rachel married Boaz. And Boaz had another son from a different wife. Then Rachel became pregnant, and this is again from her new husband, from Boaz, and then she gave birth. Now Chana, who was the other wife of Reuben, also gave birth, and three other women also gave birth. So you have five births, which you have, then they all gave birth to a son, and they were in some cave somewhere, and they got mixed up, they couldn't see, they don't know who's the mother of who. So it comes out that Yosef has, in this mixture of five boys, two brothers. One's his paternal brother, one's his maternal brother. And that is because the son of Chana is his paternal brother, because they both share the same father, Reuben. The son from Rachel, from Boaz, is his maternal brother, because he was also born from Rachel. So regarding such a case, that Rav Safra explains that Bryce is saying that Achim min ho'eim, the ones that have maternal brothers, meaning Yosef, who in this mixture has a maternal brother, are chaltzin. He does chalitza to all of the brothers to exempt, possibly, because he had one of them, he has a maternal brother, but he also has a paternal brother, where he does have then a mitzvah yibim chalitza, but he can't do yibim to any one of them, even after the other brothers, let's say, do the process instead of for them doing chalitza and then him doing yibim, because since one of them is his maternal brother, not his paternal brother, he might be encountering what's called eshes achiv me'ima, which is karis. In other words, he's worse off by having another brother here. Because everyone else here, it's either a regular woman to him, not related, or it's his eshes achiv me'aviv, which he's allowed to based on the principle of yibim. So once the other four do chalitza, either it's his eshes achiv me'ima, or it's some other woman that's unrelated, either way it's permitted. But over here, since this Yosef has an eshes achiv me'ima here, a maternal brother that's not paternal related, he doesn't have the heter of yibim. Heter of yibim does not apply to maternal brother's wife. So therefore, he has to do chalitza to everyone. He can never be doing yibum. But v'achim min ha'av, the other four, that in this mixture only have paternal brothers, they don't have just a maternal brother, well then, miyabim, they do yibum each one to one of these women after the other four men go ahead and do chalitza. Then as the fifth one, he does yibum. Now, so it comes out, one of the men are going to have to be doing yibum to two, or that you're going to have to do five chalitzas to one of the women, because you can't have, as we explained in the Mishnah, of all five doing one yibum to one of the women, because as we said over here, Yosef can't do every yibum. So Rashi explains this is the explanation of the cryptic term of the Braisa, that when the Braisa says that if you have some of the definite brothers are achim min ha'im, are maternal brothers to one of those in the mixture, and some of them are only, they don't have just maternal brothers, that they're also paternally related. So those that like in this case we call them Yosef, that has a maternal brother, has to do chalitza to all of them. And those which don't have just a maternal brother, they could go ahead and do yibum. That was the first case of the Braisa. Then the Braisa continued, it says, if miktsasin, if some of these definite men and those in the mixture are kahanim, some of them are not kahanim, so the kahanim are chaltzin. The kahanim have to do chalitza to all of them. And that is, they can never do yibim to one of the women. And the reason is, because since we defined the process because of the concern of Yevam al-Ashuk, that you first have to have chalitza done to them and then do yibim, well, maybe the one that he's doing yibim to was really the other brother, was one of the other men's Yavama, and he did chalitza tar. Now, a kohen is forbidden to marry a chalutza. So therefore, he can never take that chance, although it might be his yibam, it might not be, and therefore it might be a chalitza, and the kam have to chalitza, and shayin kam yam, and those which are not kam can do yibam. And then the Braisa concludes, if Miktsasa Kahanim, Miktsasan Achamana Aim, if let's say some of them are Kahanim, but the rest have maternal brothers, so then Eilu Ve'elu Chatzim Ve'meyam, so then all of them have to Chalitza Nadibim, the Kahanim because of the concern of they might be Chalutza, and the Kahanim forbidden in Chalutza. And the maternal brother again, because it might be Eishas Alchem Me'imai, which does not have the Heter of Yibim, because it's only by Eishas Alchem Me'aviv, and therefore all of them will have to be doing Chaltzin V'lo Me'amin.